I am talking with Gabe Bonin, and he and I go back a ways. I think probably the first time we spent time together, we were trimming goat's hooves.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
smart.
Were you even in high school yet?
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. And that is a stinky, back-breaking job.
It is.
And Gabe's comment when it was over was, that was kind of fun.
It was kind of fun, yeah.
Kind of. And then he helped me put up some hoop houses for goats.
Yeah.
And probably the thing I enjoyed the most is all last winter, he and his friend Leah Lemke played racquetball with me every Sunday night. And that was a ball.
It was.
I so appreciated that. Tell us about your unique technique of when you can't quite reach the ball.
My unique technique? Oh, yeah, I just throw the racket at it.
And sometimes yeah. It works.
Maybe once, yeah. But you tried it that one time and it worked perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd watched the pro.
Oh, yeah.
And he and I are kind of equally matched. I think he's a little better than me, but for me, it's just the joy of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing that at 75, I can still fly around the racquetball court. And so I so appreciate his joining me on that. Now, and so we played every week until you screwed up your knee.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So me and my friend Zane, after work, we have this thing where we get our boxing equipment on. We have a head thing and gloves. Sure. And
mouthpiece?
No mouthpiece.
No mouthpiece, okay.
And we decided to play outside this day. Usually it's inside in a pretty open area. And we were getting at it. He got a few good shots in. I got a few good shots in. And all of a sudden, I dodged one of his punches, and I stepped back and twisted my leg in some weird way, and my kneecap just went straight out. And I hit the ground, and nobody knew what happened. And I had a rip in my jeans right where my kneecap was. And everyone was like, oh, wait, his knee's dislocated.
Huh.
And so it took about, I want to say 30 minutes for the ambulance to show up.
Hmm.
And they kept telling me, no, we just called him 2 minutes ago. And they were trying to gaslight me, telling me that, you know, I mean, I didn't cry because yeah. I'm better than that.
But it didn't feel real good.
It did not. That was probably the worst pain I've been in ever. Huh. Yeah. Huh. They gave me fentanyl and I was still feeling it. It was pretty bad.
Wow. Yeah. And that was maybe like just after school was out or before?
It was before because okay. I got to ride the wheelchair around school for a good while.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
It was right at track season, right in mm-hmm. the middle of track season.
Mm-hmm. So you went on a bicycle ride across Iowa.
Yep.
With Leah and yep. her dad.
And her mom.
And her mom.
Yep.
Right. And what is that event called?
It's called Ragbri. I don't really know where the name comes from. It means something. I just mm-hmm. I don't know.
Do you know how many years they've been doing that?
Oh, I want to say 50 wow. something. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's grown a lot since then.
Do you remember how many miles long it is?
It is 500.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was that wide across Iowa.
Yeah.
And what towns from where to where? Do you remember that?
So the thing with the towns, I don't remember any of them. But what they do, they basically fight for where the trail goes through because it gives a lot of funding to their towns and wherever the bikers stop because it's thousands and thousands of people that stop through there and support their local businesses. But
That's yeah. why it's 500 miles long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think it was that wide across Iowa.
Yeah. We take some detours.
Did you start on the east side?
Yes.
And then when you started, did you actually see the Mississippi River?
I think we did go over the Mississippi.
Okay. And then you went all the way to the Missouri River, I yeah. suspect.
Yep. Because the thing is, you dip your tires in one river and then you bike across, and then you dip your tires in the other one. And
interesting.
That's the tradition.
Interesting. When did you decide to do this?
About a week before.
Oh, my.
It was actually... So I had no training. I had one day that me and Leah and her dad went on a ride, and that was enough for me. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm ready.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Huh. What'd you use for a bike?
So my friend at work, his name's Sterling Birch, he let me borrow his very expensive, very nice bike, which I am very appreciative of, because I couldn't have done it without that, because they were going to make me use a mountain bike instead of an actual like street racing bike. And he's put like $3,000 into this bike. It's a carbon fiber, completely custom. It's really nice.
Well, with that, you didn't need any training then. Well,
exactly. Yeah. All my downhills were very, very fast.
I have one real good question for you.
All right.
How was the seat on that bike?
Well, that's where it got bad towards the second day.
Yeah.
Yeah, of 7 days. And I bought four pairs of bike shorts. So they have like built-in padding where your butt sits, but it doesn't really do a whole lot whenever you're on the bike all day long.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was not fun, that part of the event.
I can only guess.
Yeah.
I won't ask you what your butt felt like, but I can only guess.
And it was very red. Every time that we would stop, I walked past people and they were talking about chafing. Every single stop, I swear.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
Did the inside of your thighs get all screwed up too?
Yeah. Okay. They get pretty irritated.
Any other blistering?
No.
Just the thighs and butt.
And it was right after basically my knee was healing, so it didn't really affect my knee at all. It was pretty good.
Hmm. What was the weather like?
It was actually really good. We had one day that it was maybe 40 degrees and it was raining, but it didn't rain for long. We had wonderful weather that whole entire time. We were doing pretty good.
It wasn't terribly hot.
There was maybe 2 days.
Okay.
2 days that it got pretty hot. That was probably the 2 days that I didn't bike the full thing that whole day.
Okay. But you create your own breeze. So.
Oh yeah.
No, that does kind of help.
It does definitely.
Mm-hmm. Was it a tight pack, or were you really spread out, or?
Well, it depended on your location, whether you were leaving an area, like right after leaving, in the middle, or towards the end. Usually in the middle, you'll have about 7-8 people around you. And you always have to call out whether you're on the left, on the right, whether you're passing, all that. And it gets kind of scary whenever you're going downhill and you got wind going by your ears and you can't hear anything. Mm. And some people even have earbuds in, listening to music, which isn't very safe.
Right.
But it was mostly packed. Leah said last year it wasn't that bad. Like, you could actually walk through the towns. You were literally shoulder to shoulder every single town with people.
Wow.
Just completely packed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Any guess how many people did participate?
Thousands, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact number.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe around 5,000, maybe 5,000 to 6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool to see every time you'd stop. You'd look back and there was just hundreds of bikes laying across in fields, like cornfields and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Mm. Did you see any really young kids?
There was a couple, mostly on like tandem bicycles.
Okay.
There was one guy that had his kids on a tandem bicycle or in like these strollers that you can attach. And then there was one kid on a unicycle that biked the whole thing. Yeah. He had this like... I want to say he was about 6 feet in the air, and he biked the whole thing on a unicycle.
Incredible.
It was pretty crazy. Mm. Yeah.
And I'm sure there were some old geezers like me.
Well, they usually use the tricycles where you basically are low. Yeah, you're low to the ground, and you just use
recumbents.
Your feet. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of people around your age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can see that. What else have we got to do?
Yeah.
What was the worst day? That 40 degree and rainy, or?
I'd say the worst day was probably the last day, because it was like you had your middle stop. Usually you have around four stops around your whole day. And I got, they only had three this day. You got to your lunch town, and then it was just all you from there to the inn. And you'd go up a hill, and they'd be like, 5 miles left. And then you go about 5 miles, and they'd be like, 5 miles left.
Oh, wow.
And it just kept going like that. And that was whenever it was on the interstate. They blocked off a part of the interstate. And that was the time I almost wrecked. There was a gap in the concrete, and I was going to pass somebody, and my tire slid perfectly in the gap while I was going about 15, 20 miles an hour. And I like almost wrecked a bunch of people because it was pretty packed at that point. But it felt pretty nice at the very end. I didn't know where anybody was because I had passed everyone. And I was just sitting there with a bunch of people around me trying to call Leah, seeing where she was. And it was kind of chaos. But
no damage to the bike on that event.
No, there was a little scrape on the rim, but that wasn't that bad.
Yeah. How long did it actually take?
The whole thing?
Yeah.
A week.
And what time of the year was it? August?
Yeah. Around that time.
Right. Was the wind ever bad?
The wind wasn't too bad. We had a lot of head-on winds most of the time, which isn't normal. It's just the way that they routed the trail that time.
Yeah. Iowa's flat, right?
No. It is uphill and then downhill just barely, and then you look up for another uphill about, I want to say, like a quarter of a mile uphill. And then it's a little downhill. It just feels like it's going really far up and not a whole lot of downhills until like right in the middle where you got that really, really big downhill and you're going, you're holding on for dear life at that point.
Well, basically, I suspect overall you are gaining elevation because you were going upstream, you might say.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't notice that, but on a bicycle, you probably do.
You definitely
do. Did you get to know folks you didn't know?
Well, the thing was, there's not a whole lot of people around my age range that actually do it because they're probably home all comfy. Right. And I did get to know a couple of adults that I didn't know that they had done it years ago with Leah's family.
Yeah.
And they were pretty cool. We had a good time meeting people.
What were meals like? How would you handle that?
Well, meals in the rest towns, they were, for the most part, good during lunch. Because in the mornings, it was instant eggs and really dry biscuits. And there was one morning, it was like Farmer Kids or something, some company, that had really, really good food. And they loaded your plate. It was really good. That was only like two times, but lunches were pretty good.
So town people prepared food for you?
Yeah. Okay. There was a lot. There was basically the main street would be packed every town, and you'd have the local businesses, and then you'd have the companies that followed you throughout your whole trip. They basically drove to the next town, set up their camp. And we probably wait average around 20 minutes in a line to get your food.
And then you paid folks for those meals or not?
Yeah, cash usually. Yeah.
And breakfast was the lousy one.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Would you snack all day long?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of snacks. I remember every time we'd set up camp, we have this big tub just full of food that we all brought. And it was like honey buns, oatmeal cream pies, just all the junk food that you would imagine, but it was still good.
You mean you and Leah's family or just a bunch
of
y'all?
Well, everyone would bring snacks, and then I'd have like two or three protein bars that I'd put in my bike bag.
Do you have any idea if you lost weight?
I guarantee I did. No, I actually did. I think I lost 7 pounds throughout the whole entire week.
Wow.
Just sweating. Yeah. That was kind of bad.
Where would you sleep at night?
Oh, well, we set up tents and we camped out every night. There was, okay, so the first night, I brought my one person tent, and I didn't realize it was actually a kid's one person tent. Oh. So I also brought a twin mattress. I set up my little baby tent, and I was looking around. I'm like, wait, your guys' looks bigger than mine. And so I go to put my mattress in there, and my whole tent just collapses slightly where my mattress is filling in. And so I go to lay in my tent, and my head, you can see my head sticking out and my feet sticking out inside the tent. And they're like, we're going to have to buy you a different tent. So they ran to the local Walmart and just bought me a nicer tent. There was one day that there was a tornado warning, and a lot of people's tents blew away, and we all stayed in this big school. And okay. that was kind of scary, but I actually met some pretty cool people there playing pool and stuff in the school. And we went back outside, and there was tents just everywhere from all the wind. Wow. I guess the tornado just went right around the town. Wow. It was pretty crazy.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Did you blow any tires?
I personally did not, but Leah and her dad did. Leah did the very first day.
Huh.
And his little CO2 dispenser, the thing that fills up your tire real quick, it actually didn't work, his little apparatus that you use. And so we had to get some help from people passing, which is also cool because the Air Force does it with you, and they help as much as they can. Whenever they see people on the side of the road, they have everything you need.
Mm.
And yeah, I didn't have any trouble popping tires or anything. Every morning you have to fill up your tires to a certain PSI because it gets kind of cold at night and they fluctuate. But I didn't have any issue. I just had to wait for the people that did have issues.
Yeah. 45 pounds or more?
45. PSI? I want to say it's 38.
Okay.
I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I don't guess there are many overweight people riding bicycles.
Well,
some husky ones. Huh?
Some cheat and they use these e-bikes that help you. Yeah, they're electric, but you still have to pedal. Like, there's a little bit of effort required, but there was a lot of people with those. And you'd be climbing up a hill, like huffing and puffing, and they go right past you, and you're just like, dang, that's not fair.
Now, they probably had to charge those every night. Yep. How did they do that?
I'm guessing just mobile battery packs or something plugging into their car or something. But yeah.
I guess you got to let people do that. It sounds like cheating.
It definitely is. I second that.
Now, what was this about the Air Force doing it with you?
So the Air Force, they had like a bunch of people bike the 500 miles with you, and they like spread out throughout the trail to where there'd be like one every like mile. And so they would pass by and make sure everybody's doing okay. And there's a thing called a sag wagon.
Mm-hmm.
That anybody who gets too tired or just wants to quit or gets in a wreck or something, they get on there and they drive them to the next town. And I think the Air Force worked the sag wagons. I'm pretty sure.
I see.
And then some local people would help with that too. Mm-hmm. But
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you said there was one day you had to quit before the day was over?
Yeah, there was 2 days because it was the third and the fourth day I biked to the lunch town, which was still like 50 miles. And yeah, I was just burnt out, and I'm like, I want to quit now so I can make it to the end of the week so I can finish the race at the end of the week and be somewhat fulfilled. Yeah.
Huh. So then you got on the sag wagon?
Since I made it to the lunch town, I didn't have to do that. Brandy, Leah's mom, she was our transportation. Okay. She would drive from town to town with all the tents and all the supplies. And so I would just ride to the next town with her and help her out trying to get a spot.
And you had cell phone connection with her and
anything
went wrong.
Yep, that's what we mostly used.
She'd come back and get you. Were there any... heart attacks? Or childbirths?
Well, not that I know of.
Okay.
I hope not. But there was plenty of wrecks. Nobody died. That was really cool. There was one old man that got lost, and nobody could find him.
Huh.
And it was like all over like the news and stuff, and it'd be like, wow, somebody find this guy. And
right,
it came up that he was just at a random Casey's, just sitting there, didn't know where anybody was. But he was all right.
What was lost was found.
Yep.
So there weren't any, were there any car, bike accidents? Probably not.
No, there. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was any of those.
Yeah.
Because they directed it pretty well. All the people that had to drive to the next town, it was a very wide detour. Like, okay, you had to go way around.
Yeah.
And it was kind of annoying because the easiest route to get there would be blocked off by the bikers, trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the accidents did occur where bikers running into each other.
Yes. Okay. Mostly on like the downhills or like not communicating on your left. That's usually what it's caused by.
Did you stop for any tourist type sites or anything like that?
I don't think we did.
Okay.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Did you listen to earbud radio?
Oh no.
Okay.
They kind of forbid that, but I don't know why people, that's just unsafe. I don't understand that.
Yeah. What were evenings like? Just eat, jump in bed, go to sleep?
Yeah, there was a couple towns that they had some stuff to do. Usually you eat, go take a shower, whether you can find a shower, if there's a shower option, and then go to whatever, like, swimming pool, or that's usually where the showers would be, and you had to shower with a bunch of unclothed people,
mm-hmm,
and that was an interesting experience. Yeah, but there was a couple pools that were pretty fun. They had some really big slides and stuff.
That was standard procedure when I was in high school.
Yeah, I know.
Group showers.
It's not normalized anymore.
It was pretty mortifying even all through.
Yeah, I bet so. It was mortifying for me because I wasn't used to it.
Right.
I try to jump in the shower before anybody got there and then wash up real quick.
Yeah. Did it get easier for you? You said you didn't get any training. Day two was probably awful.
It was probably easier towards the end there because my legs were just accepted their fate. They're just like, well, I'm already worn out. I might as well just keep going. I was just like basically mechanical at that point, mm-hmm, just on autopilot.
Yeah. If you were to do it again, is there anything you would do differently?
I would probably train.
Okay.
That would be one big thing.
How would you train? How much mileage or whatever?
Well, the way Leah does it, she and her dad, they go on all the highways around here, which is kind of unsafe, but it's, mm-hmm, you know.
They're still alive.
They're still alive.
Yeah.
They take the roads that not a lot of people go on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they go all the way from here to Glasgow. Sometimes they go to New Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what the roads would be like in Iowa.
Do they tend to do that just once a week or more often?
More often, okay. Probably like 2-3 times a week.
Right. Do they do any other event in the summer other than the Iowa thing?
No.
Okay. Will you do it again?
I would if they do. Okay. And Stu, the guy who lended me his bike, he, mm-hmm, said he would go too if they go again.
All right.
So I might be out of a bike, but I'll try to find one.
Yeah. So a little bit about the rest of your life. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
Anybody to thank for the whole event, like the whole state of Iowa?
Yeah, or? I'd like to thank the whole state of Iowa. I'd like to thank Sterling Birch for lending me his very nice bike, and the Lemke family for giving me the opportunity to have that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything similar in Missouri? We've got that big kayak race across the state and the Missouri River.
There's that in the Katy Trail thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's nowhere near as long as.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, actually, you wouldn't know her. Kim Thompson, she was a reporter for the Fayette newspaper for a long time. Now she teaches Bunston. She said, I and a bunch of people biked across Missouri one summer.
Yeah.
And actually, we did it at the widest point.
Oh, nice.
Like Cape Girardeau over to, I don't know what would be on the other side.
Yeah.
And that was quite a while ago she did that.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard of anything similar since she told me about that. I didn't know she was such a wild and crazy lady, but I'm learning. So it's your senior year. Yep. What are you enjoying about it? Senior high school.
Yeah, it's the classes are pretty easy because I didn't take anything that was going to be too difficult so I could like actually graduate. I didn't want to put that stress on me. Like I skimmed past geometry. That was kind of scary. But for the most part, it's pretty fun. I'm going to try every sport that I can while I can because it'll be my last chance ever to do so.
What will your spring sport be then?
Baseball, track, and if I can have a third, it would be golf.
And you can do two or three spring events?
I know for a fact I can do two, but okay. I don't know about the third one.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. I didn't realize you were such a fanatic about athletics.
Well, I am this year. I should have known.
Are there any downsides to being a senior?
Well, just knowing that it's your last chance seeing most of your friends because they're going to go part their separate ways. And you get to see all the kids that used to be in middle school. They're growing up and you got to find a college and hope you pick the right one.
Huh. Yeah. You seem to be pretty tight with a bunch of guys. Does it tend to be the music tribe or athletes or both?
Well, mostly my genuine friends have come from band, but it's not, our friendship isn't like completely focused around band. Some of them do sports with me. Mm-hmm. Some of them are, they do both. And yeah, I have some pretty good friends that we're going to try to stick in contact with. Max, my friend, he was wanting to go do concrete work, like asphalt stuff. And my plan was to go to a technical school, learn HVAC, and then right out of that, I go into the concrete work because they make $40 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that while I'm young, and I still have energy. And then I'd retire from that at about 30. And then from there, I could have my own HVAC business and do like...
What's HVAC?
Heating, ventilation, and AC. Okay,
gotcha.
So... it's not going to go out of style. Everybody needs heating and AC.
Yeah. So then you're thinking of tech school next fall.
I've been accepted to OTC, Ozark Technical College.
Okay.
And I'm also thinking about Pitt State there in Kansas. It's like right past the border.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying for there and then State Tech. If I go to State Tech, I already have housing because my friend Jane Shiflett, he has a house down there. So that would line out pretty well.
Right.
But definitely a tech school.
Smart choices.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have a job now?
Oh, yeah. I work there at Central Missouri Transmission. I like it there. And I'm going to work there as long as I can until I go to college. And even then, I'll probably still be able to work there. But I've learned a lot from Andy Cook, and he's helped me out in numerous ways. And I'd like to thank him, too, for teaching me. And
super. Are you starting to work on transmissions other than just pulling them out of the cars or not?
Well, I pull them out and I put them in. He does all the technical. Okay. Him and Mike do all the technical stuff inside the transmission. But it's still pretty extensive to
take and out. You're probably watching and learning even though you're not doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You could take the next step at some point.
I could, and that's another thing. That could be my plan B or C to go to school go to work there for the rest of my life.
Right. You put in a lot of hours at McNann's when it was still happening.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. It was very stressful, but it was fun. Huh. I liked it there.
What made it fun?
Being inside.
Okay.
Being in a comfortable environment.
Learning to cook.
That was fun. Just cooking under time, like having a specific time to cook like 10 things.
Right.
That was the stressful part. But I got French fries whenever I wanted to. I could walk past the French fry tray and just grab one and eat it. And everybody did.
Yeah.
That wasn't just a me thing. But I had a pretty good time there.
Were you right up there? Well, let's see. You probably damaged your knee before he closed down.
I did, and then once I was able to walk around and stuff, that was about 3-4 weeks before he actually closed down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is your knee 100%, do you think?
I'd say so.
I'd say so from watching you flying around the racquetball court the other night.
Yeah, weight room has definitely helped with that.
Well, listen, I think it's about time to wrap this, but Gabe, you are so fun to be around just because you're always up. And you're fun to be around, and I predict a good life for you.
Well,
keep
you.
That attitude of having a good time.
Heck yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
No problem.
That was 29 minutes, and we had a little bit at the beginning, so...